of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you have given us to praise you and to worship you. And as we come to your word, I pray that your spirit would speak to us, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And I pray, O Lord, that you would give us opportunity and strength to walk in your ways, giving testimony to you in this dark and dying world. Help us to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ that brings salvation to people, the forgiveness of sins, and the hope of eternal life. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're well underway in our study of serving God, our summer of service. We have spent the first couple of times talking about how Christ models what service looks like and how we are to follow him and do it the way that he told us to do it. So we are to serve Jesus and take our example and our cues from him. We also started 2 weeks ago about studying about how to serve our families. So 2 weeks ago, Colin talked about being devoted to the Lord and how it is important for us as Christians to exemplify devotion to God by living a devoted life. And really, that is going to kind of carry the weight of many of the topics that we discuss over the course of time, these coming weeks. Last week, we heard from Daniel, and he spoke to us about the passage in 1 Timothy that talks about how we are to care for the widows. Now, even more than that, even more than caring for the widows, we have the principle that it is very important for us to take care of those who are in our family. It falls to the family. It is the duty and the responsibility of the family to take care of its members. And then, of course, the church comes in and handles or helps to handle the things that are beyond the scope of the family and so on. So we heard from that, and I really want to pick up from that. And this morning we're going to talk about how we can serve God by serving our spouse. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to be talking about what do you do when your kids go off the deep end? And then the week after that, what do you do when your parents are wacko? Maybe I'll save that one for the youth group, but that's kind of where we're headed. And the emphasis here is how to serve our families better. How to serve our families better. And it's really important, and it's a responsibility that has been given to us by God. So, serve God by serving your spouse. Now, you may not be married, or you may have been married and not married anymore, and I know that many of us are in very different situations, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that this is God's plan, this is God's structure for people, and we are to affirm it and encourage it in not only our own lives, but in the lives of those that are around us. We live in a society where divorce is rampant, even in Christian circles, and it seems almost as if nobody is saying, hey, look, don't do that. Try another way. Try God's way. And this is where we come in as the church. We are to model what God has given to us, and we are to encourage and help others to live it out. And so here it is. This is really important for all of us. Our first point this morning is this: serving your spouse is serving God. Serving your spouse is serving God. Now, I want to start by looking at some verses, and these verses really give to us the exhortation and the encouragement that we are to meet the needs of our spouse. That is a primary concern for us, that we are not to be consumed by our own desires, but we are to turn our attention to the one that God has brought into our life, and we are to give our strength and our time to meeting their needs. So here are some verses. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. It says, let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. And then a few verses later, verse 5 says, this is the next verse. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. And then towards the end of the chapter, verses 33 and 34, it says, but he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be both that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And so we see in these passages, there is this concern that we are to have for the other person. Now, that seems kind of obvious, but really when it comes down to it, there's a strong vein of selfishness that each of us exhibit. We are so focused upon ourselves and the things that matter to us. And this is where trouble happens in our relationships. It's because I'm thinking of myself and I stop thinking about the other person. When we are to take Christ as our example, who gave his life for us, we too are to follow that example in giving our life for our spouse. So it is important for us to take care of the needs of our spouse, but not only that, to take care of the needs of our family. We didn't have a choice about what family we were put in. We didn't have a choice about who our parents were, who our kids are. We did have a little bit of a choice, you know, who our spouse was going to be. But once we are joined together, then this is where God wants us, and this is where we are supposed to exhibit his love and take care of those in our house. So do whatever you have to. It is imperative. It is your God-given duty that you take care of the members, the people of your household, whether it's your children, your spouse, your parents, whoever it is, your immediate family falls under your care. And you cannot serve the Lord, or you will not serve him better than when you are serving your family in his name. And so be paying attention to that. And the verse that we saw last week, it says this: but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's a pretty strong statement there. We are to look to taking care of the needs of our family, the needs of our spouse. Now, doing this is hard, for sure. We get hurt. They hurt us. They irritate us. They have all of these annoying habits. Did you ever notice that? I heard this guy who was teaching a seminar, husband and wife, a marriage seminar, that's what it was. So he's given this example, this personal example in his life. And apparently his wife had this habit of leaving all the kitchen cabinets open. So whenever she went to get something, she'd open the cabinet and just leave it open. And that just annoyed him to no end. You know, that's what we're talking about, annoying habits. Just those little things that we don't do, but they do. Why do they do it? I just don't understand it. What's wrong with them? Can't they see it? You know, give them eyes to see, O Lord. So he's sharing how his wife left the cabinets open. And he's going through all of these things. Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that. And I can't divorce her, because that's just going to ruin my ministry. And when he said that, oh my goodness, I just started cracking up, because, you know, that, and of course he's joking, but, you know, it shows the extent at which these little habits, you know, they can annoy us and bother us, and you know what I'm talking about, see? You know what I'm talking about, and these things that we just have to be patient through, these things that we have to trust in the Lord with, and it's not always easy. It is not always easy, because they are not me. And they're going to do it differently than I do it. And as soon as they do it differently or say it differently than I do, I'm going to have some trouble with it that I have to deal with. And that's what it all comes down to. This goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they lived a peaceful and tranquil life in perfect bliss until one day Adam showed up an hour late for supper. This is a joke. Eve had been a nervous wreck. Her imagination running wild. Honey, what happened? Why are you home so late? I'm so sorry, Adam said, waving his hand, dismissing it. I just lost track of time. Eve tried to believe him and accept his explanation, but no matter what she did, she couldn't calm her nerves and trust what he had said. Her feelings were all over the place. Well, they went to bed that night. Eve tossed restlessly for about 2 hours. Finally, she had enough. She pushed Adam, poking and prodding his chest. Ah, Adam said, what are you doing? You know exactly what I'm doing, screamed Eve. Now hold still right now and let me finish counting those ribs. All right. Now, even more than being concerned with taking care of our spouse, this duty that we have, this responsibility, and I hate to use duty and responsibility because it has to be more than that. That is important. You have a duty and you have a responsibility, but don't let the duty and responsibility part dictate your doing it. What you have to do is you have to get the rest of you engaged in your duty and responsibility so that you're doing it wholly, completely. Because if you just do it out of duty and responsibility, it's just kind of a cold accomplishment of what has to be done. But there's no zeal and there's no passion and there's no joy and there's no fellowship there. There has to be that too. On the other hand, you can't have all of the passion and none of the accomplishing what has to be done. There has to be a holistic approach to fulfilling the needs of your spouse. But at the same time, as it is a responsibility and a duty, and this is what I am to engage my life in, as I am doing that, it is a reflection, or it is an example, or it is an expression, a manifestation of my love and relationship to God and my service of Him. And the Bible affirms that we cannot serve God right if we don't have the relationships right. So let me share some verses here. The first one's Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Oh man, I forgot my Adam and Eve picture. Okay, that's when I was telling the joke. Forgot to bring that up, but Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 and 24. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, now here's the important part. If you bring your gift to the altar, now bringing your gift to the altar is an expression of worshiping God. Like coming to church would be incorporated in that, I believe. If you bring your gift to the before the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So here we're talking about this act of worship towards God, and you bring your gift to the altar in worship to God. But Jesus says, if you're right there at the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you, you go fix that. Then come back and finish your worship of God. Now, if this is true for my brother, it is definitely true for my spouse. And so there is this, if I am going to worship God and bring a gift to Him, then I have to make sure that my relationship with my spouse and others is good. Here's one. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And look at this last phrase here, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, this is again, the relationship with my wife has a direct correlation to my prayer life. And I cannot just ignore her and come to God and say, oh God, I love you and I praise you and I worship you. If I do that and I really mean it, then that God is going to redirect me back to my wife to take care of that so that my prayers are not hindered. And so the relationship that I have with my spouse, if it's not going well, can actually hinder the prayers that we offer unto God. And so it is imperative for us to make sure that we serve our spouse, that we take care of that relationship, that we cultivate it and make it strong so that our relationship to God can go forward and flourish. Another consideration here, and this involves the life of the church. So you have two sections in Scripture that list the qualifications of the leaders of the church. And in one of the passages here, it says this, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. One This is one of the qualifications. That man must be one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? So taking care of the church of God is our worship and service of God. And to be able to do that, there must be a good family life, a healthy family life, a godly family life. If you don't have a godly family life, then you cannot rule the church. Because if you can't do it at the home, how are you going to do it here? Where there's more of us. Much more ornery, much more irritating, and having so many more of those habits that are annoying. Right? At home, it's just her. But here, it's all of you. You know, if I can't deal with it with her, how am I going to deal with it all over here? So that's kind of the principle. And it's really important to God. So if we say we love God, and if we are going to serve God, one of the first and foremost expressions of that is handling our families well. All right. Our second point this morning. Now, it's be filled with the Spirit. Now, there are many books that give practical help as to, you know, how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, how to strengthen your marriage. There are a lot of good books out there that give very practical advice, like which way you should put the toilet paper roll on the little roll there, and all those really practical little things that, you know, that matter. What to do when she leaves the cabinet doors open? What do? How do you handle that? So the books kind of take care of that, and I'm not going to go into the books, and you can pick them up and read them. I've read many good ones, and they all say really good things. But really, what it comes down to is our relationship to God, our personal relationship to God. So you want to fix your relationship with your spouse, the first thing to do is to fix your relationship with God. And so we are encouraged to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and this is the part that's really important in here, is the fruit of the Spirit. So if I'm walking in the Spirit, if I am full of the Spirit, then the fruit of the Spirit is going to be present and abundant in my life. And here's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, let me just say, and this is a bold statement, there is nothing that you have to face in your relationship that is not covered here with the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing. Nothing. No matter what it is that you face, having the fruit of the Spirit will help you deal with it in the right way. Everything falls right here. And my encouragement then to all of us is that we make sure that we are full of the Spirit and that the fruit of the Spirit is abundant and present in our life. Now, let me just give you an example. The second one is joy, right? Joy. Now, you know, when your spouse starts doing all those irritating things and they start doing those hurtful things and saying those words that really cut down deep inside and you're tempted to be discouraged and depressed and all of that, being filled with the Spirit provides a certain joy in our lives and in our hearts. And if there is a lack of joy, then that is an indication to you personally that you are not walking in the Spirit and that the fruit of the Spirit is not full and abundant and present in your life. And so what you do in those cases, regardless of what they have done, what you do is you get before God and you cry out to Him and you ask for forgiveness if you have to, and you repent and you ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, and you allow His Spirit to have His way with you and allow the fruit of the Spirit to begin to surface and to come to the forefront of your life. Allow His joy, which is not based on our circumstances of life, but rests upon the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the presence of His Spirit in our lives, that can bring joy in the midst of the most difficult and trying of circumstances. So be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit as you are dealing with your spouse and your children and so on. Doesn't matter what relationship we're talking about. This is about you and your relationship to God. This is about you and you walking the way that you are supposed to. And so allow Him to have His way in you. In one passage of Scripture, we men are told to love your wives, like Christ loved the church. And that is a pretty tall order. If you consider what Christ did for us, that becomes the example for us as to how we are to live with our wives. And wives, it says to you to submit to your husband. And these are challenging exhortations that come to us with respect to our husband and wife relationship. And the only way to fulfill these things is by being filled with the Holy Spirit and having the fruit of the Spirit abundant and full in our lives. Then we will be able to love them. Then we'll be able to act with kindness. Then we will be able to be patient when they leave the cabinet doors open and when they put the toilet paper roll wrong on the thing. Then we will be able to handle all of that. And so it doesn't matter. It all comes down to this: walk in the Spirit. Now, some of the things that one of the verses that we've come across when we were studying, Christ's example to us was this: Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And really, this is what serving your spouse is all about. So we are to yield ourselves to the Spirit. We are to have the fruit of the Spirit full and abundant in our lives and allow it to pour out into the relationships that we have, into our spouse and our children and our parents and whoever. Be filled with the Spirit. Our third point this morning is this: pray. Pray. And we shouldn't underestimate the need for this. Is your husband away from the Lord? Does he refuse to walk in God's ways? Do you not see any passion for Jesus in him? What is the solution to that? Pray for him. Pray for him. Is your wife unsaved? Is your wife caught up in worldly things? Is your wife saying and doing things that she should not be doing? What is the solution to that? Pray for her. This is spiritual business. This is spiritual business, and it requires us to fall on our knees and to pray to God. Pray morning, noon, and night. Pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, it kind of brings out this principle here. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. Now, I cannot emphasize this enough. We are not the savior of our spouse. If I am the perfect husband 100% of the time, and I am filled with the Spirit, and I'm praying with her always, that does not guarantee she will change. It does not. Her changing does not rest on my shoulders. It is the Lord who changes the heart. We are to do what we're supposed to do and pray and cry out to him that he will turn their heart where it needs to go. I am not the savior of my wife. This is really important. You're going to hear it again next week. I am not the savior of my children either. I might be the perfect parent and I might get it right 100% of the time, but that does not guarantee that they will not rebel against me and against God. I am not the savior of my children. Jesus is our Savior. Only Jesus. Now, I'm not saying all that it just doesn't matter what we do. It does. It matters a whole lot what we do. But at the end of the day, we plow the field and God gives the increase. He is the one who changes our hearts. I can preach this message to you and other messages. I've been preaching here for 20 years. Message after message after message. And I cannot change a single person. I just have to be faithful at declaring the truth and pray that God will begin a work in our hearts. And we see evidence of that. Praise the Lord. Today we had 3 people following him in baptism. That is his work. And Lord willing, we have at least one more coming down and hopefully more. That is the Lord's work. The truth goes forward, and I try to be as faithful as possible. Our teachers are the same thing, and everybody in our church. Whenever we serve the Lord, we serve Him as faithfully as we possibly can, but it is the Lord who changes our hearts. And praise be to the Lord for His grace, because I am here even preaching because He changed my heart. This godless sinner that I was, He came to my heart, and He convicted me of my sin and brought me to my knees before Him, and He forgave me when I cried out to Him. Praise be to the Lord for His grace. He is in the life-changing business. And so if you're having trouble with your spouse, pray to the Lord. Pray to the Lord that He will change their lives, and you be faithful as you possibly can in serving Him. Be faithful to Him and pray that He will work in their lives as well. So I looked up these praying for your spouse, and a lot of good links came up. I didn't link on these, but here are some of them. 5 powerful prayers for husbands every wife needs to pray, I guess. 12 powerful scriptures to pray over your marriage. 50 powerful prayers for my husband. Most of them were wives praying for their husbands. I think us guys need a lot of help in this relationship thing. You know what I mean? It's true. Most of them were like wives praying for, 50, really? Man, I'm really in bad shape. 5 powerful scriptures and prayers for your husband. All right, so us guys need a lot of help, but it really doesn't matter. Each of us be as faithful as possible to Him, right? And we'll let the Lord take care of the rest. I should create some web pages of myself. 75 powerful prayers for your wife. All right, there we go. That'll balance things out for a little while anyway. All right. If we do these things, again, that doesn't mean they're going to change. If I'm the perfect man, that doesn't mean she's going to become the perfect wife. It is God who changes the life, the heart. And God is the one who brings it about. Now get this. If my wife is filled with the Spirit, and I am filled with the Spirit all the time, hey, now we're talking, right? But I can't make her be filled with the Spirit. I have to be filled with the Spirit. She has to be filled with the Spirit. Her life before God. And that's where we begin to see the blessing of the union that God has had in us, in bringing us together. Praise be to the Lord. And He does. He gives that grace. He enables us to enjoy our relationship and the work that He has done through us. He allows that. And praise be to the Lord for every instance of that enabling grace. Praise be to Him. So, serve God by serving your spouse. Serve your spouse by serving God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word that You have revealed to us, that You have given to us. We come before You, and I pray, O Lord, for our people. I know many here are dealing with this and struggling with this in different ways, and we just pray for Your grace upon them. What I would like for you, if you're having issues in your marriage, or I don't want you to be embarrassed, but or if you know someone that is close to you, maybe a family member or a friend or something, who is having an issue in their marriage, I'd like for you to stand up, and I'm going to